Blog Talk Radio.
This is the cry of a people who were robbed and raped from their homeland and their loved ones. A people stripped of their culture, their dignity, their liberty, and their rights. And by the cruel and presumptuous hands of the colonial and imperialistic slavers were cargoed into the West, where for over 400 years they have toiled and labored, and with their blood, their sweat, and tears and hands, they have built the great city of Babylon, only to be paid with the wages of the taskmaster's whip.
Cole Coon. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua, HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Father. We thank you for allowing us to see another day, Father. Thank you for the breath of life that you've given to us, Father. And we ask that you hear our prayer, Father. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, Father. We ask, Father, for strength to endure through any hardships or trials that may come our way, Father. We ask for understanding of why these things come to us, Father, and what are we supposed to learn from it, Father, what are we supposed to take away from it, Father. We ask, Father, for patience for one another, that we be like you, Father. The way that you have patience with us, let us have patience for one another, Father. We ask, Father, that you heal anybody who's hurting mentally, physically, spiritually, Father, that you send forth comfort to them, Father, and let them know that you are the healer, Father. Father, we ask that you bring forth your word, Father, bring forth understanding and allow us to just get a little closer to you, Father, and we may understand you and do your will, Father, that we be more obedient sons and daughters to you, Father, and above all things, Father, that we do what's pleasing in your eyes, pleasing what's in your sights, Father. We live to serve to please you, Father. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom, family. Hope everybody had a great week. And if you didn't, it's Shabbat. You're now in the presence of Yahweh.
Good.
And that right there is a blessing all.
Good.
So, but, well, let me tell y'all another. I had another dream. And it just so happened that I had a dream. It was last Shabbat that I got dropped off. I was in a room. I was in an apartment, room with, I'll call them the Williams boys, my quote-unquote natural brothers, because I don't make no distinction between my natural brothers and my brothers. I don't make no distinction between them. But I'll say the sons of Hurley was inside of an apartment, and it was a woman there, and there was a knock on the door. So she went to unlock the door. She says, "Who is it?" And the door was locked. So she went to unlock the door, and she unlocked the door, and it was a chain on top of the door. So as soon as she, like, cracked the door, this white hand just smashes the door open. And a white man comes and runs and gets between. I'm standing, and he runs and gets behind me. And so he gets between me and my brothers. So they're at the table, and they're just, like, astounded what's going on. And then three more white men come inside of the front door. So I start fighting the three white men, and I'm yelling at my brothers to beat up the one. Like, yo, I can't say what I was saying in the dream, but I'm like, get him. You know, get him. Get him. Get him. And I'm, like, fighting these dudes trying to protect the girl and protect them because they just, like, invaded our house. But it was like, yo, get him. Get him. But they was just sitting at the table, like, astonished, you know, just watching. And, like, the whole dream, that's all I remember is yelling, get him. Get him. But I find it funny that it's like in these last couple of dreams, I've been doing a lot of fighting, you know. I've been doing a whole bunch of fighting in these dreams. And for me, I'm always trying to figure out what Abba is trying to say. You know, what is he trying to convey to me during these dreams or doing this word, or what is he really trying to say? And that's what that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. When Yahweh uses a word, what is he trying to say? What is he trying to convey to us? You know, because when we look at what's translated versus what the idea is, a lot of times there's a very big disparaging. It's a big disparity. You know, it's a big difference in what the idea of Yahweh and the idea of the translator. So one of the things that, you know, our brother talked about as far as translating a language goes, in order for you to translate the language, one, you have to have a mastery of the language, right? Totally agree. See, but then we read within the word how it talks about the scribes dealing with a false pen. So from the beginning, it was jacked up, because if the scribes are writing down falsehoods and now you're translating falsehood, then that's a problem. See, because now the idea is going to get, it's lost in translation. You understand what I'm saying? So because the scribes didn't deal with the Most High in the right way, now the translators can't deal with the Most High in the right way, and they have their own ideas on top of that, you know, because they're the translators. So they're getting paid, and their best interest is in whoever's paying them, you know. No different than lawmakers nowadays. They pass these laws, and their best interest isn't in the people. Their interest is in whoever's paying them, the companies or the Monsanto or Heinz or whoever, whichever company, NRA, all these quote-unquote these multi-million dollar businesses, that's who they have the best interest on. So they pass these laws which affect us, but it ain't for our benefit, you know. So think about these things. And the song that was playing, Bunny Wailer, I heard that song when I was a kid. I remember it from being a kid. I just happened to be in a cab one day, and it was a Jamaican guy playing different songs. He played Sister Nancy, bum, 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 and it started bringing back memories, and then that came up. But as a kid, I just remember liking the song but never listening to the words, you know. But if you listen to the words, he's talking about being oppressed, being down in the valley, and being a slave, and this is our history. And he's right. You know, a lot of times when we think about oppression, everybody focuses on financial oppression and this, that, and another. But another way that we have been oppressed is that the word of the Most High is not ours anymore. We're not the authority as far as the word of the Most High goes, you know? People have tainted that word because of our disobedience to it. You know? In Hosea 4:6, we know this one. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your mighty one, I will also forget your children." So because you're rejecting this knowledge that I'm giving to you, now you're not going to be a priest to me. The priest was the livelihood. He was the connect between the Most High and the people, right? So because the rejection of the knowledge came, now the rejection of this priesthood came. But he still needs somebody to teach. And we read in the Maccabees how the priesthood got so tainted that they was buying and selling the priesthood. It got to that point. So now the connection between the Most High and the people can now be bought and sold. And it's in the interest of whoever buys and sells, whoever bought the thing. Now, the priesthood is serving their interest and not the interest of the people. Amen. But it was never supposed to be that way. So when you think about oppression, because we have been so disobedient, now that word had to be taken from us. But think about it. Every time that he takes something away, it's to start anew. Every time when a tree dies, before it dies, it releases the seeds, right? So the one tree dies, but the seeds go down and it starts anew. So one was taken away, but something came up in its place, you know? When Moshe and all the stuff that he did was got so corrupt, Yahushua came on the scene because that needed to be taken away, you know? So it had to start anew again. And think about it. Now the stuff that he did became corrupt. So it's a need to step away from that and start anew. So what did he do? He gave us the Holy Spirit to start anew so we can understand exactly what he meant when he and at the end of the day, he wants total reliance on him. Amen. And not what this man saying, what that man saying, what this man saying, what that man saying. I remember I was watching a debate so much, but a quote unquote Hebrew Israelite was sitting up there talking to one of the white guys who has a YouTube show, right? And one of the things that the Hebrew Israelites said, he started talking about Strong's exhaustive concordance. If you listen to the Strong's, it's this, that, and another, and the white guy kind of cut him off. He was like, well, look, Strong's is outdated. It's outdated, and it's this, that, and another. I actually teach Hebrew, and it's a white guy talking. Hold up. How are you teaching Hebrew? That's not your language. That language wasn't for your people. How will you have a mastery of it, and you're going to say to others that you're teaching Hebrew and Strong's is outdated and this, that, and another. All your education is based off of the same stuff that Strong's had.
Amen.
That's where you got the mastery from. So
Amen.
You learned a little bit more than Strong's, but it's still on that tainted level. You know what I'm saying? It's like I have, like my brother said, you pour a little drop of strychnine. I got 3 drops of strychnine, and you got 4. So I'm better than you, you know, because I got less strychnine in my stuff than you, but it's still killing me.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's imperative that we go back and we rely on Yahweh to
right.
reveal to us what he's trying to tell us, right?
Yes.
So in Exodus chapter 18. Actually, before we go there, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 19 through 23. Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 19 to 23. Thank you. All right, and this reads, and when they go forth, and it's talking about the priests, says, when they go forth into the outer court, even into the outer court to the people, they should put off their garments wherein they minister and lay them in a holy chamber and they shall put on other garments. And they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner courts. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. and they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Amen.
So the job of the priest was to teach the people what is holy and what's clean.
Now,
how can we do that if the priest rejected the knowledge, if we rejected the knowledge, and now we're cut off from the Most High, right? Mm-hmm. So it's necessary for us to start over again. See, and that's the thing. By us starting over again, the same way that the Most High has patience with us, we have to have patience with each other, and we have to have patience with the Most High. Just because you don't get a thing right away don't mean it ain't right. Don't mean you should reject it. Don't mean that it's you know, you shouldn't just cut it off. Think about when Joseph had the dream, right? Joseph told that dream about the sun, the moon, the stars, bowing down to him, enduring ambiance, this, that, and another. His father remembered the dream. He said, need your mother and your brother. We're supposed to bow down to you. He didn't reject the dream. He said he remembered. You know, he didn't say, nah, that ain't going to happen. He put that in his stash. You know, he banked that. He put that in his memory bank. I'm not going to forget this one. You know, because that's because it didn't happen right away. When it happened, when it happened, his father would go, yeah.
Man.
You understand what I'm saying? So just because a thing ain't happening for you right away don't mean that it might not be time, season for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Time to gather, time to this, time to that. It's a time for learning, a time for unlearning also. Everything that we do underneath the sun has a time, you know? And there's a lot of things that we have to unlearn. We have to unlearn a lot in order to understand what Yahweh is trying to tell us.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just go by what every man is saying. You know, and we're gonna have a little example of that today. Because again, everything that these men is saying is not wrong, right?
I hate it when I do that.
Everything that these people are putting out is not incorrect, you know. But what we have to do is learn to take the part that is correct and separate it from the part that isn't correct.
Man.
Right? He said we have to take the holy part and hold on to the holy part and get rid of the unclean part.
Man.
You understand what I'm saying? We have to find that one little gem within the dump. You know, sometimes you got to get your hands back. But you can always clean your hands off, you know. So everybody following me so far, all right? Next thing, Exodus chapter 18, excuse me, verses 13 through 27. Right. And this reads, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moshe sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moshe from the morning until the evening. And when Moshe's father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moshe said unto his father-in-law, because the people come up to me to inquire of Elohim, of the Most High. That's why I'm doing this. So they know that the connection was there.
Mm-hmm.
People know that that connection is there.
Amen.
Right? He says, verse 16, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of Elohim and his laws. And Moshe's father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. That will surely wear away both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art able to perform it. Thou art not able to perform it by thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and Elohim shall be with thee. Be you, you be for the people to Elohim word, God word, that thou mayest bring the causes unto Elohim. And that you and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way when they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear Elohim, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for yourself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. So Moshe, the one who has the connect, had to teach others to help him bear that burden. But if that is cut off, because the one who has the connect cannot reject knowledge. He can't. Because remember, at the beginning, my people, that's why we're being destroyed. That's why we're oppressed. That's why this word was taken away from us. All the stuff that that man was saying about, the slavery, the whippings, and this, that, and another, it all stems from our disobedience and our rejecting from the word. Mm-hmm. That's where all this stems from. And because we refuse to go back and learn the way Yahweh wants us to learn, it continues to happen. But we don't want to be in that boat, you know. We have to rely on that spirit. We have to have, he has to reveal to us the same way he revealed to Moshe, the same way he revealed to Isaiah, the same way he revealed to every prophet within that word, every last one. He has to, it's not changing. That part don't change. He just made it a little bit easier for us because now he took a piece of himself and put it within us. And we accept it, you know. That's all he did. I'm going to cause you to follow my laws, my statutes, my judge, because you ain't going to do it on your own. Man. It's just not in you. I love you to death, but it just ain't in you. So if I got to walk you through it, I'm going to walk you through it. Man. Baby steps. But what we got to do is we have to understand him. Because if we don't understand him, what are we going to do? What the word say? Because you've forgotten my law. We looked up that word forgotten, mislaid it. That means we did not take his law, his statutes, and judgment. We took it as a light thing. We just used it as anything. And we got an example of that. Dathan, Korah, Moshe said, look, the priesthood ain't enough for y'all. I mean, the servants of the Most High doing what y'all doing ain't enough. Y'all want more. Y'all want to overstep y'all bounds. Y'all trying to take on too much. But by you trying to take on too much, what you got, you're not looking at, you know,
man.
Because you want this. So what the service that you're supposed to perform, that you're supposed to have this reverence for, you know, that is supposed to be weighty to you, you're not even doing that, but yet you want this? No, you're trying to, you're overstepping your bounds. And
yeah.
That happened within Israel. The priesthood and the things of the priesthood became a light matter to them. They didn't serve the way that they were supposed to serve. Even to the point where we read in the Maccabees, the priest was out in the gymnasium. They put the gymnasium right beside the temple, and the priest was not doing what they were supposed to do. We're going to go wrestle butt naked. That's what they did. That's our history. That's another thing that he talks about, our history. The good, the bad. Why are we getting whipped? Why is the Most High foot constantly in our behind? We are that kid that you just can't let up on, you know. If I want this kid to walk, I got to be a little bit more sterner with this kid. We always have the one kid. I was the one kid for my parents that they just couldn't let up on. Because left to my own devices, get hurled. you know. But
that's what Israel is.
Yes.
You know, he loves us and he wants us to be. See, we was the keepers of that word. It was given to us. We had that advantage of every way. What advantage does it have? Chiefly because we had the oracles of the Most High. The word was given to us. And because it was given to us, not to toot our own horn or raise us up or make us prideful, it literally gave us an advantage over everybody else.
Man.
Because we had the relationship with the Most High, with the one true creator. Nobody
Man.
Else can boast about that. Nobody else. Nobody else can say that they heard the voice of the creator from mouth. Who can say that?
Amen.
Nobody else can say within their history, a man told the sun to stay still and the moon to stay still, and it stood like that. And the word said it was never another day like that.
Amen.
Nobody can say the things that's written down within our history, you know, because of the specialness of us. But because we don't regard ourselves special, we want it to be common and want to be like everybody else and serve gods that of wood and stone like everybody else and do the things that we want to fit in. To this day, we still want to fit in. We just cannot be Israel. Israel was not designed to fit in. He did not have us when he picked us. We was designed to stand out.
Amen.
You know, we were designed to be different. He designated differentness for us. Be ye holy. Holy just means different. Don't be regular. You know, you can't be a regular dude, Abraham. I'm not regular.
Amen.
You know, and if you're going to be like me, you can't be like everybody else. You're not them.
Amen.
And as far as we continue to try to be them, we will be them. And we'll miss out on who he is. We are. You know? You understand? I hope everybody getting it.
Yes.
You know? Because of all the things that was taken from us, our identity, our this, that, and another, when that word was snatched from us, when it was taken from us, and all according to his good plan and his good will. Because now I can start anew. Now man will understand exactly what I intended. That relationship that I had before when Adam was walking in that garden and he could communicate with me freely, I'm going to get that back. And I'm going to get it back so they get it. So they'll understand. You know? So, let me finish reading this out. Verse 23. It says, Exodus 18:23. It says, if thou shalt do this thing, and Elohim command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. So Moshe hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moshe chose able men out of all of Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they shall judge the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moshe, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moshe let his father-in-law depart and went his way into his land, his own land. All right? So Yahweh, Chafetz, Laman, Zidoko, Yagdil, Torah, Veyadir. That's roughly translated. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable.
Amen.
So
when he says that he will magnify. The word magnify, number 1431, that word is gadol. And it means, it says properly to twist, that is to be large in a sense as in body. Now, when they say properly to twist, they mean when you twist something and you add a cord to it. Like, let's say you take a strand, you got a string, and you put a string to it, you twist it, you add another string, and as you twist it, it grows. So what he wants to do with the Torah is grow it within us.
Amen.
All right? It has to grow. It has to, no different than a seed. The point of a seed, of you planting a seed, is for it to grow. So when that seed starts about yay big, but then you get a tree from it because it then grew. It then came out. No different than a baby. The baby starts from a little spermatose piece of, from a sperm.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get a full 9 pound, however many pound baby coming out from some sperm and an egg.
Amen.
So it gets larger. So that's the first thing that he wanted to do. Now, the second thing that he wanted to do with his law, he says, make it honorable. That word is number 142, adar. And it means to expand, that is to be great or majestic. So not only, it's kind of like a synonym, but when he says this, to be majestic, he wanted to put the luster back on it, the way you see a thing. So that tree is big or large. But if you see some of those cedars out in Yellowstone Park or something like that, those cedars are so big that you kind of awe at it. That's the type of majesty that he's talking about. A great, majestic sight, like, oh, that's huge. So then that way. So not only is he going to grow it for you, bring it up or mature it for you, but he's also going to, he wants you to see it in a different light. Because that's what happened to us. We took Yahweh for granted. That's what happened with Israel. We took them for granted. We took the fact that Yahweh was always there for us, always will be. For, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise to us. So we think because he never leaves us or forsake us, we can act a fool, we can do this, we can do that, we do whatever we want. Yahweh, I'm going to always forgive you. I got you. Just repent, just repent, just repent. Okay, repent. All right, let me cut this bull up, and I ain't going to do it again. Whoops, messed up again. Oh, let me cut this bull up. Whoop, let me, I'm not going to do it again. Well, look, this time it's only a turtle. I only did it for a turtle. We took him for granted.
Amen.
Our people took him for granted. And he got tired of being taken for granted. I want some people that's going to, you know, love me back. Just listen to me. Listen to me. I ain't telling you nothing wrong. I'm not doing you that. Look at all that. You was hungry. Not only did I give you bread, I gave you meat. I gave you bread in the daytime, meat at night. You wanted some water? You was thirsty? Some water around? I got a rock over here that's going to bring water from you. You know, when we look at Israel experienced so much with the Most High that it kind of became common ground to it. So it lost the luster of it. You know, where we, it's sort of like, and this is sort of like a bad analogy, but this is what happens when people getting killed out here. People hear gunshots now, they don't even flinch. There was a time when people heard gunshots, they used to get low and duck because they didn't want to get hit. But gunshots in Baltimore is such a common place now. And a lot of times, people don't even flinch. They just, oh, they shoot. They became numb to it, you know? Look, some people do that. Some people value their lives a little. You know, but I remember whenever I heard a gunshot, I got behind a car. Well, I don't care where the pop, pop, But, you know, these things became commonplace now, you know, our experience with the Most High became a common thing to them. They didn't understand that, I'm not doing this for everybody. I'm doing this for y'all. You know, everybody don't get to brag about this. Everybody don't get to see the things that you're seeing. Everybody ain't hearing my voice. Everybody's not getting this. You know, everybody didn't have the menorah. Everybody didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. Everybody didn't have priests walking around walls shouting and walls crumbling. Everybody didn't have that. They don't have our history. Well, because our history, it became such a common thing. Like, hey, Yahweh going to get them. Yahweh going to get them. That's all we had to do was figure out, you know. They went up to battle with Joshua and lost. Joshua went and inquired what was the problem, because we ain't accustomed to losing. We're not accustomed to losing. You know, when they figure out what the problem was and they found out the dude with the idols and they got rid of the dude with the idols, they went back to winning. But because we got numb to it and it just became when it should have never been us.
Amen.
It should have never got to that point, you know. So it was imperative for him to start over. It was imperative for him to start anew with us, you know. Think about why these things were done so harshly to us, you know. Think about why he really drove home a point, like, fine, y'all done got whipped, y'all done got beat, y'all done, are y'all now going to finally turn back to me? Are y'all now finally sick of the suffering? Are y'all now finally going to adhere to my word? Because now I'm going to do a great thing within y'all. And if we adhere to his word and really understand him and really put an effort to understand him, and take your time, please. It's not a race. It's not a race. Just because you don't get it right now, it's not a race. Like right now, today, the stuff I'm about to say, I know some of y'all ain't going to get it. Flat out know it. I'm going to do my best to explain as best as I can, Abba, do what you do in your time, you know. If it ain't right now, fine, as long as they get it, as long as they start to understand exactly what you're showing, all right? So, any questions? All right. So, last week we talked about the word Baram. We're going to look at what we're going to do, and here's the thing, what Yahweh is showing. In order for us to understand his word, we have to understand the parent root system as far as how words are formed. All right? So if we understand the parent root system, when a translator says this and it doesn't line up with the parent root system, right, we'll understand, okay, we're far off on the left of that. This way, we'll understand what Yahweh is trying to convey to us versus what the translator is trying to convey to us.
Man.
You understand what I'm saying? So, last week we looked at the word Barah. And put it up here, I'm going to draw it as best as I can. Bet, Resh, Aleph. All right, and last week we learned that the bet and the resh was the parent root, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about what Jeff Brenner said as far as being a family of heads,
mm-hmm.
right, and looking at the grain. Now, when you feed the grain to the ox, we talked about that and how the ox gets fat, and this is where you get the word create from,
mm-hmm.
because when a woman gets pregnant, that's one of the things that happens with them. They fatten up. How this functions, and this is the thing that Yahweh showed me. Every time we see this parent root, it functions within this parent root. Every word is going to function within a family of heads or a way a bet and the resh functions. All right? So, for example, you put, you remove the Allah, right? So now you got, put the Dalit there. And that's an ugly Dalit. Please forgive me. Now you got that Resh Dalit, which is the word Barad, which is the word for hail. Now think about hail. When hail comes down, it's a whole bunch of little heads that come down and bring down hail. It's not one big block of ice dropping. It's broken up heads, sort of like grain. Because when you look at grain, it's individual heads that pop off of grain. Right? So then you got hail coming down, but you got the dollar there indicating movement or down, because the way the door hangs, it hangs down. So you got family head coming down. So that's why they translate it as hell. Is he on point with that? Yeah, because we can see that. We can see, and when we look at hell, we understand that's how hell functions. Yes, sir.
Just adding to what you're saying, in comparison to snow or fleet, hell is also a little fatter.
A little fatter.
Bigger, hey? You know?
And that's what the words say. And when we... Okay. The word of the Most High, when he has ideas, right? When he created this word, he had ideas. When he created everything, he had ideas. So if we understand what he's trying to convey to us, we get his idea, we get his thought, we got it. You know what I'm saying? So now you have another word. This is just examples. Bet, Resh, got Kuf. Right? So Bet, Resh, Kuf is Baruch. Or Baruch. Not Baruch. Not the word for blessed. This is the word for flash, right? Like a flash of light. So what you have is a family of heads gathering. And when you think about a flash of light, sometimes you get that reflection. And what it is, the light is gathering at one point. And when you turn it, what you get is flashes. A lot of times you can take and you can do like this and catch the light, especially if you got something metallic, you know. You can catch it off of it, and you, like a CD or something like that, bam. You know, the light gathered at a point, and now it flashed. So when we get the idea, it corresponds, and this is the thing that he's trying to convey to us. So if the translator this word in a way that doesn't support flashing, you'll understand why it's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, the whole point of even looking at all that, because we started talking about giants, right? And we looked into a word, and that word was Nephel, right? So you had seed, and the lamet, right? Now the nun in the faith is the parent root for that, right? And you get the opens, which gives you the thought of something falling or something dropping, right? Because when you literally, now, Jeff Brenner talks about a sieve, right, which is a tool that when you pop grains off, and this is a tool that they use to cut grains, and they say when you go through the grains, you cut the grains, the seeds were falling off. Don't even matter. See, that's something that when they give the explanation for, you can disregard, right, because think of just what the natural thing a seed does. right? When the seed sprouts, what happens to it? When that shoot starts to come up, the seed literally falls off, naturally. If the sprouts come down, the sprouts literally fall out, not the sprouts, but what's the roots. Literally, if the roots come out first, the roots literally come out or drop out of the seed. It's a natural thing. You don't have to talk about you don't have to give all these crazy explanations. He gave us the world to learn.
Amen.
That's what he gave us for. Before there was, because remember, he taught this word to Adam. Adam wasn't worrying about no sins. He wasn't worrying about that. Adam had knowledge. He talked to the Most High to get the understanding from it. When Adam was speaking with it, he was conversing, okay. He understood how this stuff works, and it was passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down. That's how it works, you know? It wasn't worrying about a sieve. He gave us this natural world for us to understand him, for us to understand us, you know, because we're from this world. There's things about this world that literally teach us stuff about us, you know? It's just that we done gone so far, we done got so far off the path that we can't get it. We have to literally unlearn almost everything we know.
Amen.
You know, we literally have to literally trash it all. We have to literally trash it all just to get back to a starting point with the Most High.
Amen.
You know, and that's going to take time. You know, that's going to take time. It's going to take patience. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take all those fruits of the Spirit, the meekness, and everything that he said. Because we have to humble ourselves to him so he can teach us. He has to. In order for us to understand, you know, who has instructed Yahweh? We got the mouth of the Messiah. We can know his thoughts because he'll tell us his thoughts.
Amen.
He'll tell us what he meant by certain stuff when he put that word out, you know? So, back to this. None say, be open, but then you have the lump, which is a symbol of authority. So you have falling authority or a drop in authority. And think about the first time it talked about these giants, right? It said they were great men of renown, right?
Amen.
So think of renown. Renown is another word, because when you have a certain amount of renown, you have a certain amount of authority, right? So whose authority was dropped? What authority was dropped when these men were getting great? You understand what I'm saying? So you shouldn't have translated that word as giant, because it doesn't operate within this system. So let's look at another word. Nun te Zadi. This is a man laying on his sides. So this word is nafas. And it means to scatter, right? So, falling side. Think about, you got a container of something and the sides fall. What's going to happen to the contents of a container? They're going to scatter out, right?
Hallelujah.
They're going to hit the floor. Let's say you got a thing of marbles. And the thing, you got marbles all over the floor. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So,
yes.
Again, that's how that works. Let's look at another one. Nun te shin. Two front teeth. This word is nefesh, right? And we understand that word is breath. So you have
are dropping twice, right? Something is falling twice. Just think of how you breathe, number one. There's two ways of breathing. Number one, you have your nose and you have your mouth, number one. Number two, when you take a breath, your chest inhales, exhales, inhales, exhales. It's a dropping. It's got
rising,
falling of
your chest.
Hallelujah. That's what it is. So that's how it's when we look at how he gave this word, right? And we look and when we figure out the parent root system and how it works, then we understand exactly what he's trying to convey to us. You know? See, because a lot of times you'll have words like this. You'll have a word and it says it means this. But then they'll add letters to it, right? And it still means this. But how? Because each one of these letters is distinct and individual entities of their own that adds to it.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? So you can have, it would be similar. So let's say I looked at a word, I forget what word it was, but what they did was they added a wav within the word. And it said it means the exact same thing. But no, it can't because the wav is there. It can't mean exactly the same thing.
Amen.
You know, it can be synonymous to it, but even when you think of someone that's beautiful and someone who's pretty, they mean kind of like the same thing. They're synonymous, but beautiful and pretty are two distinct words with two separate descriptions. You know, they function independent of one another. You know, right? So let's look at another word that was. Any questions so far? All right. Another word that was translated as giants. Now, here's the thing. With this word, when you look at it in the Strong's, right? My ugly brush. Rush. That one real ugly. That's a rush. Okay. Now with this one, it says it could be either the aleph or the hay. I'm going to put the hay down here. All right? Now this word is rapha, and it was translated as giants. Now here's the thing with the Strong's, right? Give me one second. Now, in the Strong's, that number is number 74, and I forgot to give y'all. I'll give y'all the numbers when I go back. My mistake. In the Strong's, Rafa is number 7495, right? And again, it says it can either appear with Aleph or the Hay. Now, it says in the sense of invigorating a giant, right? But if you look at Strong's number 7503, you have Resh, Pay, Hay. And it says the definition to this is to slacken in many applications, literally or figuratively. So how can this word, because you say this word can mean invigorate, this word can mean invigorate, but then this word also means slacken, right? So because when you invigorate something, that means you're adding to it and it's getting more energy and it's healing, right? But to slacken, that means the opposite. So how can it mean this and that? And even if it did mean this and that, because a lot of times you do have the connotation where it's, you get the reverse,
Right, but let's get the, like we're going to see with this. It can mean healed, man open, could be healed, or it can mean sick. Awesome, right? But how is it, why didn't you just say that with the first number? Why is this another addition or note? You're treating this like it's a whole other word outside of what you already said appeared to you, right? Why are you doing that? Like this is like number 7503, which has the exact same letters, is not the same as the other number. Why are you trying to treat this like it's a separate entity? Why? That's confusing. You know, it's confusing. But what you have here is, again, invigoration. Now, and this is the other word that was translated as giant. Now, a man open. So think about a wound, right? You have a wound on your what's the name? That's your man, a man being open, right? So you talk about medicine, that's where they would put the medicine at on the wound to try to heal up. But that's also what can cause you being sick. If a man's head is open or a body part is open, infection comes in. So if you add this letter, add this dalet, again, right, you have the word Rafed, which means to spread. Now think about, like I just said, a man whose head is open or you got an open wound, right? It gets infected. Now it's starting to spread because that sickness is moving now. It's really going within your body. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So you have that open wound that got infected. You didn't. And think about, let's say you're healing. What does medicine do? Doesn't medicine travel within your body and it moves? So you have the opposite there also. It has to spread out and go do what it's supposed to do, right? Now, you also have this letter. Resh, Pei, Tov. Right? And this way, and the way Abba showed it to me, this word means stable, right? Man opens a mark or a position. So think about a stable. In order to let something in, you got to open up. You got to open up. You got to open up a door, right? You have to walk to a position to open up. And open. And it's literally a man opening something, you know? It's not just about a wound on the body, but a man moving or a man opening up something. So you have a position, you have a spot that you keep your cattle or whatever you got. You got horses, goats, whatever. You want them to move to that spot. So that's your state. That's the mark. That's the mark that you want to open up and get your people or cattle or whatever. Right? But when we look at those two words, any questions about that? Then I hope y'all got it. I swear. All right? But the two things that one thing that really it got me, because both of these were in the other word. There was one more word that was translated as giant, and that word was Gabor, right? And we know Gabor is a man. They always say a valiant man or this, that, and another, but it's a man with some type of authority. That's what it is, right? But when you look at the Nunpe and the Reshpe, and they sitting up here talking about giants, the one thing that they have in common is that pe, which is your mouth, which is your speech. So think about it. He shall say great things against the Most High and look to wear out the saints. It's the speech. That's what is gigantic, if you want to say a giant. It's your mouth. Your mouth, your speech against the Most High. That's what makes people, quote unquote, giants in this world. You know, think about Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking was a giant in this world. Think about the Bill Nye and all the crap he's spewing now. We've been watching him since we was here. Think about all these people who say these things against the Most High. They are giants in this world. They are. It's very few people that speak for the Most High that would be considered giants. He didn't want his people to be giants.
Amen.
I wanted my people to be like me. I wanted my people to be holy. I wanted my people to be clean. I wanted my people to be unprofane. You don't have to be giants within this world. And what I said, the men who were giants of Israel, they were giants because they obeyed. Not so much of their speech. It was their obedience that made them giants. Their obedience to the Most High. Abraham was a giant. He was a friend of the Most High. Trusted God. Did everything that God wasted to the best of his ability. Wasn't a whole bunch of talkers. This, that, and another. You know, Moshe gave his speech at the end. But it was all his obedience before that that allowed him to give that. That's about it. Any questions or comments about anything? Do everybody get it? Or if you don't get it, continue. All right? Continue. Right?
Amen. Oh,
cool. You, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Yael, will you close us out, please?
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. Thank you for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King. We ask of thee, may your will be done in this world and in our lives. And we ask these things in the name of Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King.
Amen.